You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
To date on what's going on with Loops, what's going on with the rec room. And so if you'd like to get that, please turn that card in. The box, the purple box that you're going to drop it in, has two functions. It is also the rec room assistance fund. The rec room assistance fund is to help rec room people. We don't pass plate here. We don't take up an offering. Maybe like I went to that old Southern church one time and the pastor said, we're going to receive an offering. And he said, then if it's not enough, we're going to take one. we don't do either one. Okay. But if you'd like to give to people, because every dollar that goes in that box goes to help somebody in the rec room. We don't buy coffee with it. We don't buy donuts with it. We don't buy cookies with it. It goes to help somebody. And every week, just about, we have somebody that has a need. Many times that need is not a lot. But it's a lot if you don't have it, isn't it? I mean, you're out here needing $16 to try to get your ID, and you don't have $16, that becomes a big lick. So, we have three ex-inmates that handle that money. Two of them here tonight, one of them sick. Pam is sick. She called me sick. Craig, you're sitting right there. Hold your hand up, Craig. Here's Craig, and back at the back is Rick. And they're the ones that you talk to. Now, don't come to me and ask for money. Number one, I'm broke. Number two, they don't let me handle rec room money. In fact, I'm a member of this church, and they didn't let me take up offering. Johnny said he would as soon as they got cameras. They could watch where everything was. We appreciate you being here. And if you can help, let me say this about that giving. If you don't want to, please don't. We're not begging. God's not broke. But He will give you a blessing if you give it. And I can guarantee you that I can parade a bunch of folks up through this microphone that will tell you about the blessings they've gotten from giving. Just from giving. There comes a time when... Because, see, God will never let you out giving. And so now if you're giving to get, you forget it. But if you're giving to get a blessing, then that's what you need to do. So if you'd like to, and if you can, hope you do that. I want to brag on you a little bit because we ask you just about every week to not put paper goods in the butt cans. And you've been real good at that. You really have. You put them in the trash. We ask you also not to put paper goods that's got liquid in them, even in the trash. Pour it out in the yard. And you've done a good job for the 100. We have about 100 every week. And for that many people. And now, I know that most of that 100 have obeyed rules all their life. And so, so you've done a great job. You really have. I thank you for that. We haven't announced this, but we do our drinks and our food next door here. And when it's time for the program to start, feel free just to leave your drink in there. That door over yonder is locked. Nobody can come in unless they come through the back here. And so it'll be safe, and you can pick it up when you're through because the bar will be open as soon as the program's over with. So anyhow, we thank you for just having us. We have a little, and it's kind of a bittersweet announcement I want to make to you. Many of you knew Michael Gibson. Michael, I guess, been coming to rec room since he's been out at 2 years. Yeah. Michael was saved in the Hamilton unit. Michael was from Plainview, but he decided to stay here, good friend of Strauss's. And he stayed here, and a couple of nights ago, he passed away. 28 years old. Now, I urge you every week. I talk about things like that, and I know some of you get tired of that. And Leland, you're always talking about eternity. And let me tell you, that's why I do. Nobody has a guarantee. Sunday morning, he was sitting about where Strauss is sitting tonight. Happy as he could be. Singing, enjoying the service, wiping. Two days later, he's in eternity. Yeah. Tonight he's laughing and enjoying the service. I want to tell you that. That's the good thing about God's children. That's why I said it's bittersweet. If I don't think anybody that was a friend of Michael's would call him back into this world. I just thank God he's in a better world. The funeral, if you would like to come, will be right across the street tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Strauss will be doing the funeral. They're doing it, one here, because he had a lot of friends in Odessa, Texas. Hadn't been here but just a couple of years. And so anyhow, want to just pass that on to you and pray for his family. It's rough on them. It's always on his mom and dad. See, as a parent, you never think about burying your children. You just think you ought to outlive, that your children ought to outlive you. And so that's real hard. So pray for them, that God would comfort them, and also that God would just give them the confidence that Michael will never have another problem, never have another burden, never have another heartache, never shed another tear. So we thank you for that. There will be no breakfast this week because of the 4th of July weekend and the workers, many of them have people coming in or they'll be gone. So there'll be no breakfast. Next week we'll start back with the same routine, but there'll be no breakfast this week. So I wanted to pass that on to you. Brother Charles, I know he's got some more music, or somebody has. Is that you, Kathy? Oh, okay. Right there. All right, there you are. Okay. Thank you.
Glad Leland went ahead and mentioned something about Michael, because I knew he would be talking about him some, but I didn't really know when it was going to be. And when we got here tonight, we were thinking about him, talking about him on a group that practiced earlier. And I just thought this might be a fitting song for tonight. I know your life. Come assurance.
Some of you may be familiar with this. I'm not big on YouTube, but somebody asked me to look this up. Have any of you heard Jaron and the Long Road to Love lyrics about Pray for You? Let me share it with you. It's kind of sentimental. Said, I hadn't been to church since I don't remember when. Things were going great till they fell apart again. So I listened to the preacher as he told me what to do. He said, you can't go on hating others who have done wrong to you. Sometimes we get angry, but we must not condemn. Let the good Lord do His job and you just pray for them. He said, I pray your brakes go out running down a hill. I pray a fire pot falls from a windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to. I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when the engine stalls. I pray all your dreams never come true. Just know wherever you are, honey, I pray for you. I'm really glad I found my way to church because I'm already feeling better and I thank God for the words. Yeah, I'm going to take the high road and do what the preacher told me to do. You just keep messing up, and I'll keep praying for you. I pray your tire blows out at 110. I pray you pass out drunk and with your best friend and wake up with his and her tattoos. I pray your brakes go out running down a hill. I pray a fire pot falls from a windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to. Pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. I pray all your dreams never come true. And just know wherever you are, near or far, in the house or in your car, wherever you are, honey, I pray for you. Isn't that sentimental? We're gonna talk tonight about the prodigal son. Many of you are familiar with him. If you got a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. If you don't have one and would like one, if you lift your hand up, we've got them. keep them up, and Marcus will get them to you. Luke chapter 15. Now, the word prodigal is not in the Bible. Many of you have heard of that. You might not have known that was in the Bible. The first time you heard it is what they called you. Well, he's the prodigal son. That's the prodigal daughter. But it's a word that means wasteful, a spendthrift. Now, we often talk about what's called the parable of the prodigal son. But actually, there's three parts to this parable. The first part of it is about a lost coin. The second part's about a lost sheep. And the third part of it's about a lost son. Actually, the parable that Christ is teaching is about priorities. The lady got all excited about that coin and just nearly went crazy. And a coin can be replaced. Son can't. Then the person, and it was kind of odd because this person lost one sheep. And they left 99 in the wilderness. Now, the folks that I was raised around, the cowboy people, if you'd left 99 sheep in the wilderness to go look for another one, they'd have run you off. You wouldn't have a job after that. You take care of that 99 first. But a sheep you can replace that. But when it comes to a son, and he spends most of his time talking about the son coming home. So Luke chapter 15, and we're going to start with verse 11 and read, and then just three brief things I want to talk about the prodigal son. Verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Evidently, their culture is a little different from ours. Here in America, we have to wait. Usually, little daddy or mama dies, and they leave us something. We don't get it to lend. Their culture was that when the sons, at least, when they came to a certain age, daddy had been saving money for it, and he gave it to them. And you'll notice in this that he had two sons. Only one asked, but he gives it to both of them. There's no questions. There's no arguments. There's no lectures. He said, give me what I got coming to him. Daddy gave him what he had coming to him. And he said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Bible doesn't say why a kid wanted to leave home. We kind of get a clue on how he handled his money. Maybe the house was just a little too strict. Maybe daddy was a little too strict. It seemed like this is a single parent home, and kids need both parents. They need mama and daddy because they do things two different ways, and kids need both ways. And daddies many times are the strict ones. And the mama is the lenient ones, and sometimes the kid needs kissing and sometimes the kid needs kicking, and mom and daddy will take care of that. That's why that we get our country in such trouble. We got so many single parent families. But this was one of those, even at that time. And he said, I'm getting out. Maybe he left just because he's adventurous. Maybe he left because of his brother. If we went on and won't do that tonight, but if you studied this and read about his brother, he'd be a good reason to leave home as far as I'm concerned. Because he was kind of a Pharisee type of kid. Anyway, doesn't tell us why, if it had to do with long hair or earrings or anything like that. Verse 14 said, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And I'm going to tell you what, this always happens. Just when we lose it all, spend it all, don't have anything, the famine comes. It doesn't come in the high time. It comes when we're hurt. He spent it all with righteous living. Had a party. I may have to explain some of this to y'all because y'all never done that. He just blew every bit out. We thank it because we're making good money. That my goodness, this will go on forever. we'll always have this. And all of a sudden, there's a layoff. And we didn't save a penny. All of a sudden, maybe we get hurt and can't work. We didn't save a penny. This kid just went out there and said, man, I got this money. He didn't have to work for it. Daddy gave it to him. He got out there and said, man, this is great. And they had a party. And I'm going to tell you what, as long as he had money, he had friends. And then the famine came. Y'all know what a famine is? Famine means there's not any food. It can be caused by a lot of reasons. It can be caused by drought. It can be caused by insects eating up the crops. There's a lot of different things that can cause the famine. But all of a sudden, this guy goes from party to hungry. He didn't have anything to eat. And notice this, he went and joined himself to a citizen in that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now that is not a job that requires a lot of skill. You don't even need a GED to do this. I don't know if you've ever been around swine. We never called them swine, we called them hogs, pigs. And when I was a little boy, I had to slop the hogs. How things have changed. They feed them store-bought stuff now. We didn't have garbage disposals. We didn't even have electricity the first fourth grade of my life until I was 9 years of age. And so everything that was left over, food that's left over, we throw in a 5-gallon bucket. And that was hog slop. They'll eat anything, including their own. They are a filthy animal. And he finds himself right out there in the hog pen. Now, I've seen some in this town over on Snyder Street. They're not called hog pens, they're called crack houses, but it's one and the same. See? He wakes up in the hog pen. But notice this, in verse 17, he did wake up. He said he came to himself. And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? All of a sudden, he starts thinking. He hasn't thought up until then. We're just reacting. We're having a good time. We're going to have a party. And then he said, wait a minute. The servants back there have got extra food. They didn't get the second helping. I don't get the first helping. I'm getting hungry. He's having to eat what swine's eating. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to my father, I have sinned. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Notice this. He gets this in the right order. He didn't say, Father, I've sinned against you in heaven. He said, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Because the first thing we do, our first relationship, our first responsibility is Almighty God. See, He's the one furnishing you air for you to suck tonight, and me. He's the one that furnishes us what we've got. We live, those of us that are poor in America, live better than 90% of the rest of the world. We don't live better than 90% of Texans necessarily. Maybe even America, but of the world. They say if you have a bank account and loose change in your pocket, you are in the top 88%, the top 12% of the wealth in the world. Now think about it. Now, not in America, not in Texas. But so, a few years ago, we had a missionary came back when he was going to Temple Baptist Church, which is across the street. And he and his wife and 3 children wanted to go up in a place in India and spend a year in a place nobody had ever been with the gospel. And he wanted to raise the money for 1 year. And they asked him, how much money would you need to take care of you, your wife, and your 3 children for a year to do this? He said, $900. $900 for a year. See, there's a lot of poverty And I'm going to tell you, just the fact that God let you and I be born where we were born, we ought to be thankful for Him. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. He made a vow in the hog pen. And this is, by the way, this is not unusual. Because everybody in here has been in one of those situations. And say, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this, I'm going to do these following things. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start giving my money. I'm going to quit drinking and drugging. Ra-di-da-di-da. Did we do it? Oh, no. It's amazing that when we begin to have some freedom and there's no crunch, that we start getting independent of God and His people. You can ask any pastor in town, and when folks begin to leave their church, and not to, and I'm not talking about those who may go to another church, I'm talking about when they leave the church, before they ever did that, they left reading Bible, they left praying, they left talking to people about Christ, they left hanging around with God's people. That's something that we all need. And you start getting away from that, then you start the bad stuff. So, he made a promise to himself. He admitted his sins against God and family. And then he made a choice about the rest of his life. He said, make me a servant. He's going to go to the Father and say, make me a servant. First, he started out saying, give me what I got coming to me. I know my rights. Then he said, make me your servant. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He got up out of the hog pen. He headed home. And let me tell you something. This took some gut. Some of you know this, because home would not be an easy place for some of you to go tonight, because there's some music to face. Some of you, this daddy had been watching for him because he saw him a long way off and he ran to him. But there's some that be patting their foot saying, I knew you couldn't cut it in the real world. I knew you wouldn't make it. Yeah, I knew you'd come home, your tail between your legs, whipped. You're not a man. When this kid decides to go home, he doesn't know. Because we know this, that he wasn't probably in good graces there when he left, just by the way he left. So to go home and to go back and say, hey, I was wrong, maybe Dad says, okay, we'll try it 30 days. Maybe Dad says, no, you can't come back. Maybe Dad says, we'll put you on probation for a while. He goes back and said, Dad, I've sinned against heaven, against you. Still the same order. And before he can get it all out, before he can say, I want to be a servant, you know what Dad does? Verse 22, but the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I'll give you three things. Two of them just a statement, one of them is a question. Number one, blessings don't come in a hog pen. We've all ended up there in various and sundry times. And we've sat there and we've cussed the world. Or maybe we've made vows like this man did here. I don't know what our response Everybody in here is different. But I'm going to tell you this. Until you want to get out of the hog pen, they're not going to be any blessings. There's not going to be any joy. There's not going to be any happiness. There's not going to be any of the things that this kid left home to find. He wanted to go do all of these things, looking for a better life. And he didn't find it in the hog pen. A guy that used to be, in fact, he was president of Loops. Name was Charlie Jones. Charlie had a son. Well, I met Charlie. Charlie had a son in a Big Spring federal prison. And if folks, we don't walk around. We stay. Chop, chop. Yeah, okay. And I was talking to Troy. His name was Troy Jones. And Troy was one of those iron pumpers, weighed about 260, great personality. And we were visiting one time at a seminar over and just chatting and about his family and everything. And I never asked Troy what he went to prison for. And in the process, he started telling me, and he said, Leland, where could I have taken? He said, I want to ask you a question. Where could I have taken $250 and in 3 days turned it into $20,000? I said, Troy, did you do that? He said, I crossed my heart, I promise you. He said, I had a $250 investment and turned it into $20,000 in 3 days. The next day we were back over, we were doing a Friday and Saturday program into prison. And that had gone through my head all night long. Got back over and I said, Troy, let me ask you a question. I said, one more time. Did you take $250, invest it, and in 3 days you turned in $20,000? I know some of you already picked up on this. Troy was a cook. He wasn't a chef, but he was a cook. Big difference. And he said, that's the truth, Leland. I said, how long have you been down? He said, 6 years. I got out my calculator. I said, let's figure that on a 40-hour week. On just 50 weeks a year, we'll say they give you a paid vacation for two of them. Just figure 40-hour week, 50 hours times six. See how much that comes out an hour you've been making, Troy. And that $25 is less than a dollar and a half. And nobody worked for a dollar and a half an hour. See, what we do, we look back and play to the top. We play to the high. We live to the high. And all of us know exactly what follows highs. It's lows. When you're back there replaying all that stuff, and when you were smoking that dope, and when you were having that party, and when you were living high, and when you had that money, and all of those things, play it all the way to booking. Play it to the emergency room. Play it to the hog pen. You don't find it in the hog. Number two. Everything the son left home for, he found at home. When he come back, it said there were fine clothes. Daddy said, put the best robe on him. Put shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his hand. Now, servants don't have rings. That was a sign of luxury. Dad's making him a son again. This is my son. He was lost. I'm glad he's home. He's come home. Put a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. He found fine food, a party, dancing, music, all the stuff that he thought, I'm going to go out yonder and find. He just walked away from it. He found it right back there, and he found it without a hangover. He found it without a hog pen. He found it without a famine. He's taken care of. He also found love. He found respect. He found honor. Found somebody that cares. When he was in that hog pen, he had an empty stomach. He had empty dreams. He had empty relationships. Empty pockets. But here, found it. And then the third thing is in the form of a question. When are you going to wake up? Some of us, it just takes longer than others. But when are you going to wake up? He woke up in the hog pen. He said he came to himself. Have you done that yet? Because when you do, you see, this is dead end straight. This is going nowhere. Now, you can talk about jailhouse religion all you want to, but because of some ministry in prison, Michael didn't go to heaven. Because of some ministry out here at this jail, there's some people going to heaven. Because of the ministry of the rec room, there's some folks going to heaven. Because somebody passed out a tract, talked to somebody, invited them to church, whatever the case may be, and they heard about Jesus Christ and got to go to heaven. And somewhere in there, they woke up. They came to themselves. When are you going to do that? I want you to bow your heads for a moment. While every head's bowed, nobody looking around, if you would, just heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to challenge you to wake up. I'm going to challenge you to think deeply about if this had been you instead of Michael, where would you be tonight? And every now and then somebody said, well, Leland, you're trying to scare me. Yes, I am. I make no bones about that. This is real. We've had a lot of rain. If a street was washed out here tonight and cars were going under and nobody put up a sign, nobody tried to stop anybody, they would be the worst of all people. Because it's dangerous to fall into the hands of an angry God. So tonight, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say in your heart, Lord, I want to be saved. I don't know much about religion. I don't know much about the Bible. But that old man said that if I'd trust you, I'd go to heaven. And we can show you that in the Bible. Tonight I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm depending on you to get me to heaven. I accept you. I accept your payment for my sins. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be just like the prodigal son. I'll be your servant. Just take me if you would. We're going to pray. I want you to ask Christ to save you as I pray. Our Father, you know the hearts of everybody here. You know who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. We also know that anybody that's going to hell doesn't have to. Tonight they can be saved. Tonight they can come to themselves and know you. We pray they do that right now. I want you to stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. If you trust Christ as your Savior, I want you to step down here and say, Leland, I want to be saved tonight. I trust Christ. Would you come? Would you right now? Thank you. Someone else. Come on. Come on now. Brother, he's going to talk to you right there. Someone else. Come on. To rid my soul of one dark blot, you could get it all solved tonight on the road to heaven. Come on. Just a moment. I'm going to ask Charles to sing one more verse just in a moment. Think. We're not asking you to join a church. We're not asking you to get religion. We're not asking you to stop this or that. What we're asking you is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Turn it over to Him. That's our invitation to you. We're going to sing one more verse. If no one comes, we're through and we'll go have refreshments. But this is your chance. Please come. Don't need to have any talking. Need to have your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you. All your blessings. We thank you for those that have come tonight. Father, we pray that those that didn't, that needed to, I pray you'd give them another chance. I pray, Father, that they'd have another opportunity. We never know how many you give us, and you're not obligated to give us any. But you've given us so much. So, Father, I pray for those that are here. Pray that there'll be some life changes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. The goodie bar is open. The drinks are there.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.